Welcome to Spirit's Work, the show that's designed to stretch your mind and broaden your understanding about life on Earth, life after death, and life in other dimensions. Each week, through our connection with our spirit friends, we discuss various topics of interest and take great pleasure in listening to those who continue to walk with us and watch over us. In the most natural way, we are able to cross the divide between our physical world and the non-physical world when my husband, Mick, deep trance channels an enlightened spirit called Gregory Hay, who has access to great knowledge and wisdom. This week's show is a reader's subject show, and it's a continuation, actually, of Ruth's questions. She just keeps them coming. It's wonderful. Ruth lives in Scotland, in the UK, and thank you for your questions, Ruth. And if you'd like to join us along with these questions, it can be on a similar topic, or if you have something other than that that you would like to join in with that is of interest to you. It's not a personal reading type of situation. It's not that you're going to get any information about future or anything like that, or what you should be doing with your life. But it's actually, if you're interested in the spirit world, life after death, or anything to do with this world, or your abilities, your spiritual gifts, we would love you to join in with us. We don't have an email going today, but we'll be back on email questions as well next week. So it's the phone lines will be open, and it's toll-free in the U.S. It's 877-876-5227. It's in Canada, it's 888-815-9756. And international callers, it's 001-530-876-3222. And the international call isn't toll-free, but it's only a quick call. It's only, not even the price of a glass of wine. There you go.
Oh, that's right. Well, hi, I'm Mick Avery, as well as Spirit's Work on the wonderful and ever-present bbsradio.com every Sunday at 10 a.m. PST and 1 p.m. EST. That's 6 p.m. GMT. We have another radio show which is called Spirit Teaching, and you can hear that on artistfirst.com every Tuesday at 4 p.m. PST, 7 p.m. EST, or midnight UK, depending on what time zone you're in or what season we're in at the time. Actually, it's 11 p.m. GMT at the moment, but I think that changes next week. Anyway, if you'd like to know more about us, our books, CDs, Book and Akashic Reading, or any of the other services or kinds of readings that we do, please go visit our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com, and also live at www.spiritsworkradio.com. Now, what we're able to do as spirit mediums is to offer you the spirit world's perspective on the nature of our existence. And when I go into the deep trance state, Gregory Hay, who is the main spokesperson for an educational group in the spirit world called the White Cloud Group, is going to borrow my physical body for the whole show. I'm not going to know about anything else that happens because my spirit and my consciousness are transported to somewhere else. Now, please do look at our website for a better understanding of how we work, because we haven't got time to go through too much information and chit-chat at the beginning of each show, because it would take up way too much valuable time for the spirit world. And as I say, every single time really. We develop the whole show purely for the spirit world to communicate with. So you use it as a tool. So anyway, Sylvie's going to be here, of course, in the physical side of life, communicating hopefully with Gregory. Don't forget, every one of these is an experiment, and if it wasn't for Sylvie's abilities as a physical mediumship, we wouldn't be able to create this kind of information superhighway, if you like, to the spirit world, because she is basically the controlling energy of everything we survey. Well, certainly everything I do, anyway.
Oh, there's no escape, Mick. Okay, so Mick's going to go off and go into trance now. He'll bring through Gregory. I'll just tell you a little bit about Gregory. He had an earth life 300 years ago, but has continued to learn and evolve in the spirit world, and now he can come to share his wisdom with us for our benefit, or for everybody's benefit. White Cloud Group, whom he represents, were formed to bring us knowledge that will hopefully steer us toward a more peaceful and harmonious future. They're made up of all kinds of scientific minds and scholars from all walks of life, as well as ordinary people. The information we bring is without religious bias or political persuasion, and we believe in everyone's right to their own views and beliefs. We have a show on Mystic Academy as well, or a workshop, or however you would like to call it, on Sundays normally, but we haven't had for the last few weeks, and watch our website for when it is again. I can't actually remember at the moment. It's just that we've been relocating and we haven't had our internet access up and running yet. So, but look out for that on our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com. But we do, when we are there, we are at the Mystic Academy in the New Oracle Temple. We have great fun, and it's another opportunity for you to interact with the spirit world with us. So, actually ask your questions as well. Anyway, I do believe Gregory's with us now. Hello, Gregory.
With love and light and blessings be upon your pathways, my dear friend. Mm-hmm. Hello.
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 So here we are again then, and we have some more questions from Ruth. So I was just trying to get it in some form of... actually, I'm going to start with ego.
Very well.
Yes. Chris says, can you explain what is ego?
Yes, quite so. Ego is partly to do with the instrument of survival of physical state. That does not mean to say that I'm talking about ego as in the form of I am better than you are, or the form of self-belief. Ego comes in two different forms. It comes in the perpetuation of one's own self-state. That is to do with attitudes of mind. Then there is also the state of the natural form of ego, where you are actually looking at certain energies, certain situations to do with the natural world and how you as a being can survive it. So we can see then through this aperture of the mind that there are certain states of ego which are really to do with pure survival and nothing else. That isn't to do with how you may rate yourself within one situation against some other being. This, then, is a matter of instinct, really. And this kind of egoism, in a sense, is not actually keyed in to the consciousness mind in the same way that egotism actually is. If you are looking at the instinctive paths of ego, you can see that, for example, in the state of instinct, it is driven in order for the person to survive, for their genetics to survive. Therefore, there are pathways, certain pathways of ego within this aspect, which means that, for example, if you are trying to attract a mate, then it will be. There are certain pathways of instinctive ego which actually take hold with this. It may well be that for some people who are susceptible to violent tendencies or to certain genetic malfunctions within violent states, that the whole trait of ego becomes something of a pariah, really, to the state of mind of consciousness. And then it can be this kind of state of ego actually takes place in a sense, a distorted view of how you as a being may accept your situation or see various other encounters with other people or animals as being in some way endangerous to you. In which case, then, you may actually act out of, in a sense, a state of self-preservation or responsibility. But in actual fact, through the ego, this then can become blown up, in a sense, out of proportion. So we can see then that there are different climes of ego to do with this. I can cite something else if you wish.
Oh, absolutely. I think as many examples you can give us, the better.
Yes,
really.
Yes, quite so.
Thank you.
So, for example, friend, a cockbird. Then we will say a male bird which is preening itself. It is trying to, it's genetically set perhaps at a certain time of the year that it has to bring about a good plumage of feathers and that kind of thing. Its whole molecular structure will be guided toward that in order for its own self-preservation and genetic mastery, which is driven by instinctive behavior, but also by its own consciousness mind as well. This then falls into the exact same state of ego that we are talking about that sometimes interacts with human beings in states of violence when they are trying to trump someone else, when they're trying to overcome someone else, perhaps because of a situation like a land dispute or something really to do with their nesting, to do with their own configuration of their surveillance of their environment or something like that, are often brought about by states which are quite natural, instinctive-driven egos, which are not the same as the rather obnoxious self-defensive egos, which then arise out of attitudes of conscious mind. Nothing whatsoever necessarily to do with the instinctive states that it's based upon, but sometimes they can be born through the instinctive states. I hope you understand.
Mm.
So
mm.
You see, if you're looking at a bird, then, for example, and it's coming into a certain season where it wants to attract one or maybe more females, depending upon its state of genetics and where it is within the species hierarchy tree, you will find that oftentimes this situation of assimilation will go on for quite some time. Whereas within other states, it may well be quite a docile bird. Yes, and so we see then that sometimes there will be situations of rutting, to do with the animals in question, or it may well be that they actually fight amongst themselves. And this can often come through instinctive states of ego, as I say. Now, alternatively, we need to look at other states of ego. The ego of selfishness. The ego of the mind. So often brought about by one person's conscious understanding of someone else. We can see through this aperture of consciousness quite simply that the state of mind is oftentimes at a period of deliverance, if you will. So it may actually arrive out of the instinctive states of behavior, but that it is then through perhaps the way that person has been brought up or regards themselves that they actually take on a completely different role. And it's like releasing a large influx of energy. This is very rarely to do with states of a chemical such as serotonin, for example. Ego very rarely comes from that kind of energy release. We're really talking about something else, which is inherent. Again, it's almost like there's the wrong mixture of chemicals in that's driving the ego-bound soul or okay. spirit journey.
Okay, we'll go back to that.
Yes.
Hello, caller, who's speaking?
Yes, hi. I just tuned into your radio, to your program, and I wanted to know a little bit how to keep balance with my energy.
Okay. All right. Any particular situation you're thinking of?
Yes, I think my love life and work life.
Okay.
Yes, quite so, my dear friend. They're often very, very difficult for human beings in physical state to deliver upon, purely and simply because you, as a human being, tend to allow others to control you. And this is part of the situation that oftentimes people fail to see, that you are, in fact, the master of your own ship. It's just that what you actually tend to do is that you allow others to infect you. To infect you perhaps with their problems or to infect you with the way in which you regard self as well. This is something, dear friend, that you have to be very careful over. Particularly to do not with specific times of the month, I have to say, but actually really to do it as a generalization. Human beings tend to regard one another in a poor light, user service. So it means to say that, particularly in your work ethics situation, you tend to be at risk over others who are perhaps regarding of how they may use you or your abilities to their performance. And this is something, friend, as well as the fact that you tend to harbor energy, you need to practice letting go of energy and also letting go of past thoughts as well. I'm not talking about long-term past thoughts, but I am talking about just really recent ones. The situations that happened to you yesterday or last week tend to hang around you, and they hang around you because you feel worth less, a lesser form of yourself, for not having treated them or devolved them in a different way. So my suggestion to you, my dear friend, is that you look upon your pathway perhaps slightly differently and not be so ready to just acquiesce to someone else's will, but that you are a very beautiful being and that you have to understand you are worth more than that.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, bye-bye.
Thank you, Sue.
Thank you for calling. Okay.
You see, so oftentimes we will have people who actually see themselves as one thing and oftentimes allow others through the weaker state of mind. That's not to say that this person was at fault. Hardly at all, in fact. It's just the way in which you have come to accept certain personified roles, particularly within a work environment or something like that. Now, going back to the ego state of consciousness, we can see quite clearly within this that she actually felt very embattled by her situation. How can I gain balance? How may I gain equilibrium within this state of mind? Clearly, it wasn't actually coming from something that she was doing rather than something that she was allowing to be done to her. And this is something which actually is guided by egotism of others.
I was just going to say, the problem with human beings, especially if they are on a spiritual pathway, where they have, you know, their vibration and their energy is maybe slightly more refined because they've been, you know, meditating or however it is happening,
absolutely.
The transition is happening within them.
Yes.
We have to work with people with these tremendous egos and that sort of character, shall we say, you know.
In the work environment, too.
Forceful people. Yes, in the work environment, basically, or even some family members. And it can actually be, the balance is very difficult, very, very difficult. And, you know, in this situation, very often you'll hear people say, won't you, well, I don't understand, that person seems to just swan through life and nothing seems to ever happen to them.
Yes.
And usually they've got huge egos, these people.
Yes, that is very true,
I mean,
too.
Yes, so, I mean...
So then everyone else thinks, well, if I'm to emulate that, I too must grow my ego, and I too must feel just as worthwhile as that person. The point is, however, that then tends to also throw out subtlety with the baby's bathwater. And so what you then end up with is a person who becomes quite a brutish individual. I'm not saying that one who treats you that way in any event is not brutish.
I do know people like that. They tend to be selfish people.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, they're not brutish, the ones that I'm thinking of, but they are definitely selfish, but it seems to work for them. Do you know what I mean? Because it's like they don't let other things hurt them.
No, quite so.
They just haven't opened the doors to. They don't let it in. I mean, how does that happen as well? They don't know about protection or anything like that.
No, it doesn't actually happen like that, my friend. What it is they just completely ignore it. That is an attitude state of mind.
Well, we'll continue talking about this. I think it's fascinating. In fact, this question, I think, is going to go on for this whole show, I can tell, because this is... I want you to go back to the other types of ego as well, the different basic, I'll ask you this question in a moment, but it's to do with the animals anyway. I'd like to say thank you if you've just joined us on Spirit's Work. You're listening to Spirit Guide Gregory Hay, being channeled by Deep Trance Medium Mick Avery. I'm Sylvie Avery, and if you'd like to join us with a question to the spirit world, it's a general question. But if it's something of interest to you, then the spirit world are waiting to answer your question. Phone lines are open, and we'd love to hear from you. The number is a free phone in the USA. It's 877-876-5227. In Canada, it's 888-815-9756. And international callers, it's 001-530-876-3222. And that's not free, though, that last number. Yes, you were saying earlier on, Gregory, about the two different types of ego.
Yes.
And you were saying about the, for instance, as an example, driven by genetics.
Yes.
If we can stick to people for the minute, you talked about male birds preening themselves, blah, 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 blah.
Yes, yes.
Okay. Well...
And that's exactly the same as male men.
Yeah, well, actually, not all male men.
No, no, quite so. But that depends, actually, upon genetic and certain chromosomal differences, which will have a genetic bearing upon their reactivities and their heightened sensitivity, I would have to say.
Mm. Well, yes, but females generally, a bit of a generalization, usually take a lot more care and interest about their looks.
However, that you will notice is something which is not by and large changing, but is gradually moving. It appears almost as though there are certain alterations that happen. And this is not specifically physical. It's actually to do with not just genetics, but it's also to do with environment. To do with the growing up, how a person is taught by their parents, how a person is susceptible to news, to events around them, to observations, notations of how behavior works between one person and another, means that these people actually form very early on different views because of communication. Communication is always the key.
Yes, okay, but we don't actually do all of this for the basic need to procreate like animals, do we?
Well, you would think
a lot
not,
of the time, but it's not. It doesn't really. It's not like I want to start a family situation, is it? And my genes carry my genes on.
Well, that is what you would think, my dear friend. But in actual fact, what I'm saying is that many of the causes and effects brought about by human state are actually purely because of that. That's what I'm saying. That oftentimes you will see that people who not necessarily bully their way through life, but people who actually are very ego-driven, oftentimes it's because of a disproportionate amount of certain forms of energy around them, which will actually, it's almost like driving a lemming over a cliff. Yes.
Okay.
And so what you will find is that that person is driven almost to the point of destruction, I have to say. And oftentimes they will be people like work, where their work ethic is not conducive to family living. And yet, actually, it has originally arisen because of display within the family unit. This comes from instinctive behavior and is that way driven through that form of egoism, which is not of the self, the selfish based consciousness ego. Yes?
Mm-hmm.
So we can see then that how these different interplays, particularly when you are dealing with very large population densities of people, you will find this kind of activity driven higher and higher. Quite typically, my dear friend, you will find this also with certain groups which actually split themselves into religious factions. This is then produces the formal herding, the troop member or disciplines, which often can have a great impact. Being a part of one specific pack is, in a sense, it's like driving the whole situation of instinctive behavior egoism to the nth degree. It's part of the reason, friend, why so many situations arise when you are looking at heavily populated densities of peoples and the many different almost like tribal elements, which are actually pack-driven sentiments.
Yeah, absolutely. Because even in England, I mean, it's that sectioned up as well, isn't it?
Yes,
and there's a power ego thing, you know, our part of the country is better than your part of the country and that sort of thing, let alone states
and
countries, the whole
parts
country.
Of the species as well,
which
is driven by racialism.
Okay.
And that is exactly the same as religiousism.
Okay. Do other planets have ego, an ego situation? I mean,
they
call it something else. But
yes. Well, it very much depends, my dear friend. Situations, places where OPAC live, for example, you will not find that because they're in the purest state. So it will often be that those kinds of situations are devoid of it. This is primarily so that they can concentrate upon their spiritual awareness and upbringing, upwelling in a sense, of their becoming ready as a pure, beautiful spirit to their onward journey through millions of years, whereby they may help others and create abundance with others. This is quite obviously not the case with situations where there are very complex states of, how can I say this, rivalry, really, between one species and another. And don't forget, friend, that in the human state, there are many who regard themselves as a different species to other human beings just because they're of a different color.
Oh, absolutely, yes. Well, but even the class system.
Well, that too. Yes.
I mean, it just goes on and on. It's just rippled all the way through, isn't it?
Yes. And the class system, actually, and everything resounding around that, was actually begun through the hierarchical system, which was developed by, first of all, I understand, various warlords, and then that was percolated and used by monks, by a very, really most religious dignitaries that ever have ever lived, apart from Jesus, I think. But actually, even he was certainly tribal to a certain extent.
What do you mean by that?
Well, in that there was a certain sect-like situation which was happening around him. Actually, it wasn't through his own instigation.
No.
It was through their instigation of wanting to be part of that pack. It wasn't actually his fault.
Well, yes.
Because, of course, being a medium himself, it actually meant that all that he was trying to do was show how other people right across racial divides could actually live and work together and be together through one common good.
But, well, okay, so people felt confident in his company, like we do, anybody does.
Yes.
With people that they feel, well, it makes them feel safe.
Yes, of course.
Then you feel elite. You feel different. You feel
it's an us and them.
Yes.
Immediately.
Yes. Whatever way you look at it, whether it's for good or bad.
That is true.
I mean, yeah, but you see, this is it.
Surely, my dear friend, it depends, does it not, upon whether you declare your exclusivity and whether you then ban people who do not measure up to your exclusivity. And that is the whole problem, surely, with mission-driven status and situations of racism.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Hello, caller. Who's speaking, please?
Hi, Sylvie. This is Rosanna from Daytona Beach.
Hello, Rosanna.
Hello.
Hi. Hello again. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Okay. my question is regarding the ego and 2012 and the spiritual awakening that people are discussing and books that have been published about it. And I wanted to ask Gregory, will we be moving away from this selfish ego that causes so much separateness in on Earth?
Yes.
Is there hope?
Yes.
Well, my dear friend, I can only say to you that it is all about effort. And effort within human state, effort within everyone who becomes aware of self is not actually really and truthfully to do with ego. It's a matter of mind attitude as to whether that person then aligns themselves with some kind of exclusivity to do with their practice, perhaps. And that is where oftentimes people, even in the spiritual evolution of things, can become in a state of difficulty, shall we say. And so what you really need to do is to understand that this is actually, of course, something that we really will, all beings on the physical side of life at this time, that they would make an understanding of themselves, particularly so that they are then able to pass on that understanding of beauty and of a state of mind without the egotistical journey, as I say, particularly of the selfish state, to do with then they're being able to pass that on to so many others. And quite the whole situation becomes apparent that when you look at different states of this individualism, the way that various peoples within religious structures, as I say, always tend to pass it off as an us and them. My point here is that do not see it as us and them. See yourself as one of the absolutely countless billions of beings in the spirit world. If you find yourself that you are at odds with humanity or with the situations that they create, remember that this is really just due to people who are suffering in their own lives, whether when they create badness, when they create negativity. The ego that you really wish rid of is that to do with the how so many want to annihilate the pathway of others purely for their own self-state. The problem human state has at this time is in being able to wash the ego so that you will actually be able to survive and be able to leave your planet in a better state for those to come, rather than the poor state that it was in when you arrived.
Okay. And is it best to distance yourself from people that are so entrenched in the self-ego? If you're one that's moving towards awakening to who you truly are, what would you do in a situation such as that?
Well, my dear friend, what you have to remember is that not to guide yourself by the pathway of others. Know this, my friend, you are unique and divine and individual. So that means that the way that you bring about your pathway is as individual as anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
And that you do not need to follow anyone else, for your pathway is unique. In a sense, it takes away the whole ideal of how you want to be like somebody else, rather than you want to be like yourself. And this does not involve selfishness. What it actually does is free your conscious mind. Because so often, friend, what people in physical life tend to do when they are coming into a form of self-awareness, that they will oftentimes measure themselves toward others. How am I doing now? How am I thinking? Is my thinking pure enough? Am I behaving of purity? Wait a minute, I'll have a look and see. I'll have a look to see what other people are doing. The problem with human state is that you are so used to gauging one's self-appetite by the needs or greeds of others. And then this simply then throws you into a whole declaration of almost as though you are transfixed, a bunny in the headlights, if you like, of life. There you are looking glued at what someone else is doing and how well they are doing, specifically maybe to do with their gifts of spirit. And yet, what will oftentimes be happening is you're then struggling with yourself, trying to gauge yourself with their, so say, spiritual gifts and superiority that they appear to have simply because you've given them that energy. And all that I'm saying, dear friend, is every single being needs to step back from doing that and realize that they themselves hold the key. You yourself hold the key to your own supremacy, nothing to do with selfishness, nothing to do with how you are better than someone else, but how you are better than yourself presently. That is the guiding key you need to unlock in your life, so that each and every day becomes not a torment or a difficulty, but that what you tend to do is you wake up and think to yourself, today I feel better. Today I am going to do better. And then try to not evaluate what you do or the strength of your cause or the manner in which you do by gauging it towards someone else, but that purely and simply you do your very best and no one else can ask of you any different.
I've been starting to tell myself I'm doing the best I can given the knowledge that I have at this moment in time.
Yes, and that is all that anyone can ask of you, my dear friend. What you must do also is have the patience. That is a sacred word.
Have patience?
yes, have the patience in order to stop yourself from gauging self life with someone else's. So have patience with yourself, friend, so that you may actually look at yourself with kinder eyes.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Once again, thank you, Mick, and Sylvie, and Gregory, for your beautiful wisdom. I so missed your show the last few weeks. I hope that the transition went well with your move. And once again, much, much appreciation.
Oh, thank you, Rosanna. Do call again. And if you've got any questions, you know, like lots of questions, and you'd like us to ask on your behalf on a show, then you can always email them as well. And you can join in on the day as well by phone. That's fine as well. But, you know, if things pop into your mind, this is the sort of thing that we can do.
Wonderful. Thank you very much.
Thank you, honey. Bye-bye.
With love and light, friend.
Thank you, Gregory. Yes. Bye-bye.
God bless. Yeah.
You see, there has to be an energy that you project that puts your aspirations in the zone of ego-driven. And I don't quite... What is it? What is it that, you know, we... Like, for instance, when we do our affirmations, I'm going to be this, I am going to do that, I'm telling myself all of the time that I am a good person, that I'm positive, I'm a winner. Okay. It's got to be an energy that's behind your particular reason and meaning for doing these, saying these things, for wanting something, for yearning for something.
May I just say, my dear friend, oftentimes what happens is that when a person thinks like this, that what they're doing is combating the errors of negativity, perhaps not necessarily of one's own personal past, but oftentimes can be done with something stated en masse. So, for example, friend, you may be that you actually do not take in the energy so much of a particular news item that you have seen. Remembering, dear friend, that in my day, you wouldn't have known half of, or even an eighth of, the different items that have happened around the world, yet alone in the next village.
Yeah.
Yes?
Yeah.
And so these situations were in my time of life, and for the many centuries before I had a physical life, they were much more simple. Just as acute when someone actually found out about certain situations, and yet the whole thing wasn't as driven as you find it is now. That's why I'm saying that when you are dealing with states of population density, when there are many, many millions of people that are living in a fairly confined space, you are dealing with a great many different energies. The trouble that many people tend to have in this focus of view is that you will see and identify certain kinds of thoughts that come to you or that leave actually an impression with you, maybe even that you didn't put to bed in its own way, but that you carried on from one day to another. And there you are simply with the same energy. You're still trying to deal with it. So then oftentimes what can happen is that you yourself find as though you are at a different energy state, purely and simply because you've left it. It's still with you. And then you find yourself trying to overcompensate with the fact that you have, as it were, failed yourself. And then you are almost in a state of judging oneself because of this failure to act, anticipate.
But ego is an energy.
Ego is a derivative of what we call energy, but actually is an activity.
It's an activity.
It's an activity of, and it can have an influence upon any kind of thought.
Because, you see, you could say that I want to make so much, you know, like such and such amount of money this year because I want to buy, you know, a nice house, a nice car, whatever, do all of these things that are material things, but...
Yes.
Okay, you can say that in one respect, and it will, you know what I'm getting at, don't you?
Yes, but
that it won't be because you're doing it because of ego. You're doing it because
of nesting.
Yes, absolutely, of nesting, of, you know, fed up of being left behind and having a broken down car.
Of course,
you know, always in, you know, always in the garage because it's broken. And
yes.
So that's what I'm saying. That it's different. It's different. And I still can't. And if anybody else can put their finger on it, there is something that's definitely different. Because I know sometimes I say something and I think, gosh, was that ego? And I give myself...
Or was it survival?
Exactly. I give myself a hard time about it.
I understand
because
that.
Because it echoes in my mind and I can feel it in my solar plexus because I feel uncomfortable that I've said it.
Because immediately you have the connotation of yourself that you shouldn't have said that because you have implied it. You have applied it to the word ego rather than it's actually a structure of your survival.
Okay, yes, but I've said that because it was a feeling, though, a feeling that I got after saying it.
Yes, I know that, my dear friend, but that's actually also because it denotes as well, you see, to do with the purity of spirit and how you are in contact with your pure spirit. So the reason why you then feel at default as though you have done something or said something wrong is purely because of the energy that you tend to work with. And then it means that you misconstrue very oftentimes many of the energies around you.
Yes, so this is it, and that's what I was saying, and like Rosanna and other callers, you know, if you are awakening to your spiritual pathway, this is what happens. And yet,
absolutely,
you know, we can't get left behind. This is it. We need to climb up the top and shout our piece and you know, do our bit for be a beacon of light for others and et cetera, et cetera.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
Don started BBS Radio not to be, you know...
not because he had a loud voice or ego.
Exactly.
No, quite
but,
so.
And it had to be the best there is. You
absolutely.
Know?
Yes, of course.
And you have to tell people it's the best that
But also, is. Though, my dear friend, with respect, it actually came through his nature as well, being the best that there is, because that is the kind of person that he is. That's nothing to do with ego. That's just to do with his facet, displaying his beautiful spirit.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes.
Well, I'm just going to... I must ask you these questions for Ruth.
Yes, of course. Well, yes.
Okay. It's the same question. It's the same subject.
Yes.
Okay. So she says, we are spirits having a physical existence on Earth. Spirit is pure and perfect, which means our life should be pure and perfect. So obviously something is stopping this from happening. Is that the ego?
No.
Okay.
Well, it may be for some people. It's not... In many cases, it's actually due to the activities of others. And they oftentimes mean that their activities sully yours. They make you feel dampened. They make you feel as though that there is something inherently wrong with your life. And oftentimes, the inherent thing wrong with your life is that you're sharing the same field as somebody else.
Exactly, because in a way, it is ego stopping it, but not specifically. It's a certain...
That's the wrong activity.
Yeah, it's certain people with ego.
Yes, quite so.
Are spoiling it for others.
Yes.
Isn't it?
Yes.
So it is ego spoiling it in a way.
Yes, but not yours. It's other people's.
I mean,
and it's the reason why people in physical life do negative things is because they're not in touch with the operator. They're not in touch with their beautiful, pure spirit. Whereas, perhaps, for Ruth or for others, Little Bird, yourself,
and Rosanna
and others, that what you feel is your attention to duty of care, your attention to worthiness of others, as well as self, not through selfishness or ego, but through just wanting to be the best that you can be.
Mm.
And there is nothing wrong with that. That is your beautiful spirit. That is not to do with ego. That is to do with displaying the beauty of God, if you like.
Okay.
And that is what energy you are trying to release. Now, if you happen to be in the same field as some person who wants to destroy you, own you, put something over upon you so that they win their day and you lose yours, that is simply that they're doing that oftentimes because of their instinctive behavior, but also because it's a physical life.
Mm.
And what tends to happen in the physical life is that people misconstrue their energies, do not understand because they're not in touch with their spirit, their beautiful, pure spirit. Therefore, their decision-making will be lower, of lower energy.
Okay. Is it our ego that has free will to choose, Ruth says? She says if it's basically...
You have free will to choose.
Okay, I'll just say, I should have said this beforehand.
Yes.
How do we let our spirit have the life it came to experience? Is it our ego that has free will to choose? Because she was following that on for the last question.
Yes, but that's like...
Short of time.
Yes, but that's like saying that you are following your life experience because of your spirit. No, you're not. You're following your life of experience purely and simply because you're a physical being. The fact of whether you engage with your spirit or not is a matter for your decision. You may not make that decision. You may ignore it. You may decide that your spirit or anything to do with that is absolute phooey.
Okay, well, yes. But people that hopefully who actually do come to realize the importance and, that it's actually even a possibility, just
yes.
Your spirit.
Yes.
Communicating with your spirit and the fact that you're having this experience, maybe some, I know you say, some for a specific reason and others not.
Yes, question.
I can't remember what I was going to say then because I just looked at the clock and thought, oh, no, we're running out of time. I can't remember what I was going to say. Oh, no, that's terrible.
Well, that whole point, my dear friend, would simply be that because you were thinking in one particular direction, as I say, it doesn't mean that it's a matter of ego. It doesn't mean that you are acting outside or alone. It does mean that the only way for you to act in the purest state possible is through your spirit.
Hmm.
And nothing else will do.
Okay.
Oftentimes, people make mistakes, errors of judgment, because they're not in touch with their spirit. And then, everyone else has to suffer the deficit that is created through that activity, through that energy, through that behavior form. Yes?
Mm-hmm.
And then, you have problems within society, purely and simply because you are all marshalled into different little compartments. Thought is not yours.
Oh, gosh. Lots of other questions just sprang into my mind.
Oh, sure.
I'm going to write them down after we've finished
so.
The show because...
Absolutely. And we
yes.
need to continue with this.
Yes, I think we do, actually. I'm going to do some more research. And
yes.
We look forward to our listeners' questions as well next week. And we'll
absolutely
have email
so.
As well. So thank you very much, Gregory.
Most graciously, thank you, my dear friend, from all of us of the White Cloud Group. Thank you so. God bless. Good day.
Thank you. Oh, I do hope you've enjoyed the show, and thank you for your calls. That's fantastic. And if you would like to look at our website, it's www.spirit-teaching.com. We do Akashic readings where you can have a one-to-one, personal one-to-one with Gregory, where you can find out all sorts of things that are absolutely, totally fascinating about yourself. Far too long to go into now because we have to close the show. But you've been listening to Spirit's Work, and until next time, be peaceful, be positive, and focused on your goal, knowing you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Goodbye.